Do I turn it off? My ears are saying ow. Stop laughing at yourself. Are these two making sense? At least I didn't pay. I am deaf in my defense. TCB is terrible. That is being kind. Both the hosts are idiots. They left the funny behind. What is this show about? It's offensive to my soul. Brian is a hack. These two aren't funny and so old. Why all the hype? How did this get made? So many episodes, none of which are great. TCB is terrible. Worst show you could do. TCB is terrible. Worst to you.
This episode of The Commercial Break.
I watched one episode and I just couldn't understand why this was interesting. And I don't know one person who does. Do you know one person who watches The Kardashians?
No, not anymore. Like I said, I think
you defriended them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just, it was just a natural thing that if I'm friend, I'm probably just not going to be friends with the
people. Yeah. Me too. I'm not interested. I'm just not that interested in being friends. I mean, listen, if someone watched it as a guilty pleasure, okay, whatever. I watch dumber shit. I promise you I watch, well, maybe not. I watch just shit just as dumb.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thank you for joining us. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of drama. A lot of drama out there in the world. Least of which is the Category 5 hurricane in Jamaica.
Ah, so sad.
Crazy. I mean, did you see the video of the hurricane hunters? That went in, the guys who fly into the eye wall.
Oh, right, yeah.
So there's a group of, they call them the hurricane hunters.
It looks like a stadium, right? Inside of it?
It's just insane. Yeah. Like, the eye wall is so perfectly formed.
Right.
It looks so tame in the middle of it, but so violent on the outside of it. But these guys, they fly right into the middle of these storms. They fly over top of them, and then they drop sensors into them to get information about where the storm is going, what it's doing, whether it's strengthening or weakening.
What a job.
I know. What a job. And they do it with some of the most advanced technology and some, you know, obviously one hell of a plane, right?
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for years and years and years. It's nothing. Nothing stops these guys. They've flown into the most dangerous of situations and they fly right over top of it and they do their thing. And it's like a plane filled with computers and people monitoring computers and sensors and all this. There was a video that they showed where the plane was so violently shook that the pilot made the decision to turn around. And that's not something the hurricane hunters do.
Yeah.
They don't turn around. They go. They keep going. They're used to the turbulence. That's what they do. But this was so terrible. The turbulence was so incredible on top of this hurricane that they just had to go. They had to get out of there. So, you know, it left.
Was it like the third strongest one ever? or something?
It's certainly the strongest one that's ever
been recorded
in Jamaica. That was for sure. But I mean, it was a Category 5 the entire way over the island. Mm. So I pray for the people of Jamaica, many of whom have nothing in the first place.
Yes.
Who really live a sustenance life. They live from day to day, hand to mouth. That's just the kind of existence they have. Jamaica is not a particularly rich country in general, but it's a beautiful country.
Yeah,
and anybody who's
really
been there,
is.
Beautiful country, beautiful people. Anybody who's been there knows that. Mm-hmm. And most of us who have been there have been as tourists, as very privileged tourists. We go there, we visit their beaches. Yes, we inject money into the local economy. Much of the economy is based on tourism and fancy resorts and the people who work there and take care of you and bring you your food and serve you your drinks, clean your towels and all that shit. You know how it goes. Or cruise ships that dock, you know, wherever. That's how I went. I went to Ocho Rios on a cruise ship. That's where I got my weed and subsequently an anal cavity search.
Yeah. We went to Negril and Treasure Beach, which was part of what got the first hit.
Yeah.
Here in this past time. I was looking at, you know, it was called Jake's Hotel. And it was such a great little laid back, you know, hotel, 15 rooms on the beach. And I was looking at their Instagram and they were showing just some of the devastation. I think half the place is gone. I mean, I saw roofs being just ripped off.
Right off.
Yeah.
Right off. Rivers on streets turned into rivers. Because it is mountainous in places in Jamaica, especially where it hit, that means the water's just coming down. I say all this to say you've heard the bad news. I mean, it's been a top story now for 2 or 3 days. And as we're recording this, the hurricane has since passed. For about, I don't know, 12 or 14 hours now. But here's why I mention this at all. First of all, you know, if you can donate to whatever legitimate, you know, charities are out there helping the people of Jamaica, maybe I'll put a link to one.
Yeah, I'll send
in the
you
show
the one
notes.
I saw.
Okay. But then I'm really floored by the audacity and the entitlement of some of specifically the American tourists who have been posting videos from Jamaica.
You were telling me that.
Yeah. Not everybody, but a majority of them completely tone deaf to the situation, which is the following. If you go down to Jamaica, let me tell you a little story. Let me back up. It's time for story time with Brian. Let's do it. All right. During my first.
We need a little musical introduction to that.
I wish we had a musical interlude.
The like,
that,
bring.
Yeah, well, hey, you need a little chime.
Yeah.
It'd probably be more like this.
That is one of my favorite.
Or for some people. So, is that ever going to stop? There you go. I don't know that sound effect too well. But when my first wedding, we got married, and then the very next day, we took off to go to Cabo San Lucas. But a couple of days ahead of time, you know, hurricanes happen over in the Pacific also, and they don't happen as often. They don't hit those coasts as often, so you don't hear about them as much. But the Baja Peninsula is subject to a hurricane every once in a blue moon. And it just so happened that a Category 3, maybe Category 4 storm was headed straight for Cabo San Lucas.
Wow.
When my ex-wife and I were to be at this resort down there. So I stressed over this a lot for the days leading up to my wedding because we were leaving literally the next morning to get on a plane. So I stressed about this quite a bit and I consulted with a bunch of people. It was out in the ocean at that time and it wasn't 100%. You know, it was also a long time ago when they weren't as good as predicting these things. But I got really nervous at a couple different things. Number one, being in a strange land with such a devastating event happening, knowing that hurricanes are not something to be fucked around with. But then number two, I was concerned about being a tourist in a land where the people who would be serving me, waiting on me at the hotel, would also have family, friends, and all that stuff somewhere else. That also might be affected. Am I taking them away from that? Realizing that I would not be the only tourist there. There were plenty that I'm sure that were going to stay. So as we got to the morning of, we checked the weather. It looked like it was going to miss Cabo by, you know, or Cabo was going to not be the worst of the worst, right? And we consulted with the hotel. We called other people. Mm-hmm. I talked to my father who had spent a lot of time down in Mexico, and he basically said to me, hey, if they're telling you to go and they say it's okay to be down there, then go be down there. And if for some reason something happens, you let me know and I have friends in Mexico and we'll figure out how to get you out, right? And I was like, okay. So we made the decision to go. And when we got there the very first night, the resort that we initially were staying at was pretty empty, actually. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of people there. And they were kind of boarding up things to get ready just in case. They had boarded stuff up days before thinking it would come. We then moved to a second hotel. And then we rode out what would have been like a Category 1 hurricane. Like those kind of winds, mm-hmm. that kind of rain, those kind of storms. It ended up being a whole bunch of wind and rain. That was it. It didn't even really do any damage to the property. Like the palm fronds were all over the place, but they were pretty quickly cleaned up. This is not that. Mm-hmm. This is people making a specific and conscious decision to go down there because of the hurricane. I'm talking about a couple of influencers who I'm not even going to name. I'm not even going to send traffic their way. They went down there to create content as influencers, because they thought that was cool to do. They thought it would be cool to book themselves a really fancy hotel in Jamaica where the eye of the storm was going to come and then ride it out. Well, they F-A'd and then they found out. They fucked around and then they found out when they now are stuck in the lobby of a hotel that is now leaking and extraordinarily damaged with little food, water, and no electricity.
What did they think was going to happen? That's so stupid.
It is so dumb. This is like, think about the other people that have to be involved in the taking care of you. They have to babysit you because you want to make content for your TikTok or your Instagram. And they are putting their lives in jeopardy, or maybe their family's lives in jeopardy. They have to be separated from the ones they love so they can take care of you. Now, we might make the argument that maybe some of those people would be safer staying at the hotel, like the workers. But we don't know that. And that's a dumb conclusion to make altogether. But there are literally hundreds of people that are online right now in this same situation. A week ago, 8 days ago, they knew this thing was likely to hit.
Yeah, they've been talking about it for a week.
Yes, as a very dangerous storm was going to hit Jamaica. And yet so many people decided to ride it out and then are acting entitled about it. I saw one lady yelling because they were giving her croissants for breakfast and not a hot breakfast.
Oh, my God.
And what kind of, what kind of nightmare this was that she was getting croissants instead of sausage patties for breakfast. I mean, the dumb shittery that goes through someone's mind is unbelievable. If I'm down there, then like one guy had his family down there and he was videotaping people bum rushing a buffet that had been opened for people that were going to stay down there.
What?
Taking the food, putting it in like they had pillowcases and they were throwing the food in the pillowcases.
The tourist people that were staying there?
Yes. Yes. Tourists that were staying there. They had opened up a buffet so that people could get some food. This was, 12, 13 hours before the storm was supposed to hit. The hotel had opened up a buffet and said, come have one last meal and then we'll deliver you some food into your rooms if you're, staying in these rooms. This is the way the guy explained it. And then he videotaped as 10, 15, 20 people out of a couple hundred just like literally rolled over the security that was standing there
trying to
hold order and started putting food in sleeping bags and running away. It's like, holy fucking shit. Really? What has this world come to? I mean, if I'm in that kind of situation with my family, I am going to make sure that my children are fed and watered, but I'm not going to kill people in order to do that. Like, it's just crazy. It's Chrissy. It's literally insane.
I know, mind blowing. That other people just have no clue.
No fucking clue. No clue. What's wrong with you people? Honestly, what's wrong with you people?
It's the same people that were driving crazy on the road today.
It's the same people that don't know how to drive in the rain. Yeah. The same people who, go up to Asheville after they have their terrible incident so that they can, create content. It's like, come on, guys. These people just went through the worst fucking day of their life.
People's lives.
Or they're going to go through the worst day of their life. They don't need you there on your fucking TikTok machine. No. They really don't. They really don't. It's so dumb. Just think about things before you do them. How's that? My dad had a thing. Just use your head.
Just think about it.
He would say, use your head. And I always thought that was like a throwaway line that my dad would use. And now the older I get, the more I think about it. I'm like, use your head.
Use your head.
That is it. Use your head, please, for the love of the Lord. So pray for those people in Jamaica. They are.
Yeah, I'll send you that. thing too.
Oh, and now, yeah, please do. And now they are saying that because of damage to airports in the region.
Yeah, you can't get out or in.
Right? And roads, people very well may be stuck there, not for days, but for weeks. So now the hotel has to take care of your entitled last 4 weeks. What's going to happen then? I don't know. How are they going to get food to those hotels? That just seems like if I was slated to go on vacation in Jamaica and I saw that that was headed my way, I would have been avoiding it. Even if there was a chance of that happening, I would have been like, I can imagine all the different ways this could go wrong for me and my family. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to, even though it's going to suck and I wish I could be down in Jamaica, you know, enjoying the sun while it lasts, I'm going to say this is probably a no-go.
Well, this is also not usually the time that you want to go down to those places. Honestly, it's like rainy season.
Yes.
During all that time. And there's a chance this could happen. So.
It makes me incensed. It really does. Because, you know, I understand why people are doing it, but I don't understand the reasoning behind, I can understand why people think, oh, I can go down there and create content and this will be funny or this will be fun or this will be interesting. I can see how your head might go there, right? But I go one step from that in my decision-making process and I go, but I could get hurt. Mm-hmm. And the people that have to help me might get hurt. And something really bad could happen. And I could be stuck in a flood or the people that are there could be, whatever. It goes like, power lines could explode, a building could settle. I don't know. It all could go to shit. And I just put myself there on purpose. For 60,000 views on my TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that worth it. You're not Kim fucking Kardashian. Okay. Speaking of Kim Kardashian, you and I talked about the other day how we were saying that Mama Kardashian.
Kris Jenner.
Kris Jenner. What a wonderful facelift or whatever she had had. So I did some further investigation on this. And all the pictures that you see of Kris after this particular facelift that might have happened a couple of months ago, because apparently it takes a long time to recover from this. And she was out of the limelight for a little while. And apparently those photos, every one of them, including the red carpet ones, were doctored.
What?
Were doctored photographs. And that she does not, in fact, look like that. Now, she doesn't look bad, that's for sure. Even the undoctored photographs don't look bad.
Yeah, well, I read that she'd spent $100,000.
I got to imagine it's a lot more. Don't you think a facelift is a lot more than that?
I don't know.
Like a really good one?
I don't know. I haven't done the research on it.
I don't know either.
But, you know, on the one hand, I'm not surprised they were doctored. Don't they doctor all photos?
They do.
That has to do with anything with any of them?
With most celebrities, like if they can control
the
situation.
Especially the Kardashians.
Yeah, especially the Kardashians, who are now on Disney Plus. Just makes me.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Because of Hulu, right?
Because of Hulu and FX and Fox. But how did they go from E! Entertainment to fucking Hulu?
I don't know why that change was made.
I don't know. And what is that show really that interesting?
I don't watch it.
I don't watch it either.
I've never. Like the first couple of seasons on that were on E, and that feels like that's been 20 years ago at this point.
It was 20 years ago at this point. Yeah. It must have been 20 years ago at this point. Yes. When did that sex tape come out?
Early 2000s? I think it was 20.
Yeah. It came out in the early 2000s, and then quickly Ryan Seacrest had them filming their lives. I think I watched one whole episode, and here's how far back it was. Bruce Jenner was still Bruce Jenner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I watched it when...
Yes, still Bruce. Exactly. He was still Bruce.
Yes.
Right? And so I watched one episode, and I just couldn't understand why this was interesting. And I don't know one person who does. Do you know one person who watches the Kardashians?
No, not anymore. I
watched... You defriended them?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just a natural thing that if I'm friend, I'm probably just not going to be friends with the people.
Yeah. Me too. I'm not interested. I'm just not that interested in being friends. I mean, listen, if someone watched it as a guilty pleasure, okay, whatever. I watch dumber shit. I promise you, I watch. Well, maybe not. I watch just shit just as dumb. But I mean, the Kardashians. It's like, what are they doing that's interesting on that show? Making more billions of dollars?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think now it's like kind of like Succession is why people watch it, and they're, you know, so interested in it. But it's just, and it's on Disney Plus, and that drives me crazy.
I know.
Why does
that
drive me crazy? Because when I got Disney Plus, it was literally Coco and some old Mickey Mouse shows. You know what I'm saying? And it was family friendly, and the kids could watch it, and everybody enjoyed when Disney would drop a new movie or whatever. We'd all, it was during the pandemic, and we'd all sit there and, you know, watch whatever, Encanto, which is a brilliant fucking movie, and Coco, which is a brilliant fucking movie. And we watch these, you know, all the Toy Story and all the other ones, and go, ah, that's fun. That's good. Now, I can appreciate that Hulu is wrapped into my Disney bundle now, so I can watch some of those FX shows. But, I mean, the Kardashians, really, really Disney?
I know. Every time I go on that app, it does. It's like immediately shows the Kardashians, and I'm like, no.
They're pushing it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need people to watch that show. I think they paid them like $100 million a season for five seasons or something like that.
Probably.
Unbelievable. We can't get a dollar for a season here, and we do 600 fucking episodes. Honestly, it's crazy.
Do you know anybody at Hulu?
I don't know anybody at Hulu. I know people at Disney, but they're, the only people I know are the people who take my credit card for a reservation on one of their crazy, crazy expensive vacations.
Yes.
That's it. All right, let's take a break. I want to talk about House of Dynamite. Have you seen it? Have you watched it?
No, I want to, though. It is on my list.
Everybody is talking about it, and I'll get into it just a little bit. I won't give anything away, but I'll get it. I mean, and if you watch the promo, then you already know what it's about, but I'll...
I saw like a little making of.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very, it seems like it's, it, they really took time to, you know, the White House, the CENTCOM, the whatever. Anyway, we'll talk about it when we get back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Oh, just a quick update here on a conversation we were having last week. 37 donors are giving to Trump's new bloated ballroom, which people have pointed out. They look at the renderings, the drawings. Uh-huh. People have pointed out that architecturally, like stairs go nowhere. Windows are on top of each other. Corners are askew. Like, it's a total hot fucking mess. Whatever renderings they've sent to the public are, like, clearly there's some architectural issues already with this thing. It's going to be a shit show. You know that it is. Apple, Google, Amazon, Meta, Coinbase, Lockheed Martin, Palantir, T-Mobile. And then there are individuals like the crypto bros, the Winklevoss twins.
Oh, those guys.
The bad guys in the social network.
Right.
The shithead canoeing twins. Those are the guys. Those are the guys building the bloated ballroom for T-Mobile. The T-Mobile. Oh, my God. And I think Comcast was also a part of that group. Also, I had heard. Anyway, so job well done on everybody's behalf. Job well done. Bought and paid for. Sold to the highest bidder. House of Dynamite is a new number one movie on Netflix. At least it was a couple days ago when I started it. House of Dynamite is about the 19 minutes from different perspectives. The 19 minutes from the appearance of a ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, being launched, in this case, somewhere from the Pacific toward the United States. The 19 minutes, what happens in those 19 minutes? What is the decision-making process? Mm-hmm. How might it go down if this particular situation was to come about? And how might we try and defend it? What would we be able to do? Who would be involved in the chain of command? Mm-hmm. How would we de-escalate if we needed to? And what would happen if a major city like Chicago was targeted with one of these ICBMs? And it shows you what a fucking shit show it all is when that kind of crap, if that kind of shit were to ever happen, which I think now we might be closer than ever to that kind of shit happening, how delicate the whole situation, how fragile it is.
So you watched it.
I haven't watched the last 30 minutes of it, so I don't know the conclusion yet. And some people are saying that it's a terrible ending, and then other people are saying it's a befitting ending, whatever. I don't know, because I haven't seen it. But basically, it's like the first 20 minutes is from the White House Situation Room. What happens at the White House Situation Room and Defense Base in Alaska.
In Alaska, right.
So those two.
And they have like real people that were ex-government working on this movie. It's the same director that did The Hurt Locker.
And, The Hurt Locker? Yeah.
And,
oh, that's she's great. It's, Cameron's wife, ex-wife. Yeah.
Dang it, I can't remember.
I don't know. But yeah, what was her name?
I know.
She won an Oscar.
She won.
For The Hurt Locker, right?
Yeah, it is Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow, who is... Not Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, no. Kirk Cameron.
It's Kirk Cameron's ex-wife. Kirk Cameron. What a shithead he turned out to be.
I know.
But, you know, he's all... If you wanted to, you can tune him in on what's on... not Lifetime, but Hallmark channels.
James Cameron.
James Cameron. That's it. James Cameron's ex-wife and apparently very talented director herself. This movie is very well done. It is very interesting.
She directed Point Break?
I think she did.
Yeah, it says she did.
The new Point Break.
No, from 91.
The old one?
Yeah.
That's really?
That's what I was like, oh.
Who would have thunk it?
I know.
Wow.
Frank Walker. Zero Dark 30.
Zero Dark 30 was
Detroit,
good.
Detroit.
Never saw
crime
that.
Drama Detroit.
Never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Cartel Land. Anyways, she's big.
I heard Cartel Land was good. I didn't watch it. So the first, it pops off right
I'm
from the
sorry,
beginning.
I'm sorry, laughing about Kirk Cameron.
And Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron. Married to the lady who made Point Break in a Hurt Locker. Kurt Locker.
James Cameron seems more befitting.
Way more befitting. Yeah. And they didn't work out anyway.
No, they were only married for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, they were. But I think it was the Avatar years. So I think she did all right. I hope she did all right. She seems to be doing fine for herself.
She seems to be doing fine,
yeah.
Yes.
So this first part of the movie, they look in the kind of the communication that goes on inside of this Alaska defense base. And like one of the first people who would take action is this Alaskan defense base if something was to happen in the Pacific. And they would have an opportunity to shoot down any incoming missiles. But as is said in the movie, as one of the chapters is called, hitting a bullet with a bullet. It's like hitting a bullet with a bullet. It doesn't work every time. It's basically a coin flip whether or not you can hit an ICBM going that fast coming from almost outer space into your airspace. You have to triangulate that one missile's got to find another missile. It's a whole fucking thing, right? It's very complicated and it doesn't always work. It only doesn't work half the time. So you're really fucked. But then the decision making that goes on inside of the White House Situation Room also is very interesting. And this is based on loosely on a book that was written about this, about that 19 minutes that goes on and what has the chain of command, what has to happen and who has to be involved in the decision making. Really, when it comes down to it, it's one person, one man or woman. But right now, that's a man.
President.
The president is in 100% control over what happens in those 19 minutes as the commander in chief, essentially. And how fragile and dumb that seems when you think about it, right? And I'm not talking about the person who sits in the seat at any given time. You know, imagine Joe Biden had to make that decision. Would Joe have even woken up in 19 minutes? I mean, we would have. What if Joe was taking a pee with his prostate? I don't know. You never know. Like, what would have happened?
You're not being partisan on this.
No way I'm not being partisan on this. I think that there needs to be a triangulation of people. And of course, there are other people that are consulting with the president. He could do it in a vacuum, but in the right circumstances, he wouldn't be doing it in a vacuum. But she does such a good job of raising the stakes so quickly, and it's so fast, and it looks so real. Like this, the locations and the scenes and the places where she's at, it all looks very realistic. Like you're in the White House Situation Room with them. Like you're at this Alaskan airbase with them. Like you're in
the CENTCOM. God, my anxiety CENTCOM is going to be through the roof while I'm watching this movie.
It's hard. They had, you know, Cheyenne Mountain and all this other stuff. Like, where these people are, what they're doing, what's going through their heads, how they're talking it out or not talking out, how we're trying to communicate with other countries about, you know, trying to figure out just what's going on. Where did this come from? Who's shooting at us? Do we need to be shooting back? Do we have time to shoot back? Should we shoot back? If we shoot back, what happens if we shoot back? It's all, it's insane. Everybody should watch this movie because the
next for me
person that you elect from whichever municipality or district or, you know, senator.
Parish.
I just thought that was a weird name for an area.
An area. Yeah, that's geographical.
Yeah. Because I was in a, I went to, you know, Catholic school and I was in a parish.
Right.
I think that's where that it comes from. Yeah. But everybody should watch this because you should be asking, we should be asking these questions of the people who are going to be making decisions about the rules and the regulations that go on in the future about this. Now, the good news is that I learned during the watching of this and researching of this is there's actually been a law enacted already that AI can have no decision making when it comes to nuclear weapons.
Okay.
It's enacted in law. So that's the good news. Do I trust that's going to be the case? Probably not. But, you know, I'd like to think so.
Yeah, some sort of comfort.
Yeah, but if we're going to give that button and those codes to one person, it just seems dumb to me. It seems so dumb to me, regardless of who the person is. We should have multiple people that have to sign off on this.
Or like turn the key at once.
There are many people that have to turn the key.
Okay.
Right, but the actual decision. And
Turn the key.
Yes, the person who holds the codes with many different scenarios, right? It's either shoot them all off right now, the world's ending, we gotta see what we can do.
Yeah.
Strategically shoot one in this direction, shoot two in that direction, whatever. All those are mapped out. I imagine they're discussed as soon as your butt hits the chair, maybe even before your butt hits the chair in the Oval Office. They discuss all of this with you, as well as the protocol. And the protocol is there are people at very high levels of the military that also have the other side of the code, right? And when you give that code, when you say those words, Foxtrot, Zulu, Tango, 178, whatever it is, right? When you say those words, they look at their list and they confirm that that's the same thing they have on their list. And then that runs down the chain of command. And then there are people who have to turn the keys to shoot things off. Also has to, the thing is, in order to shoot a nuclear weapon from a ground-based station, there has to be like two or three people involved in the process. It can't just be one person. There's at least two people that have to turn a key. They have to say some words to each other. They both have to confirm in their secret book that their secret letters match their secret letters, all this other stuff. But then one dude can just be sitting up at the top and say, shoot them all off and
do it.
Do it. And when they say do it, you know,
they got to do it.
They got to do it. You never know what's going to happen. So it's a very unnerving thing altogether. Yeah. And I think this movie does a great job of kind of spelling out.
I would expect nothing less from Mrs. Bigelow.
Yeah, because that Hurt Locker had me sweating within 5 minutes of watching it.
Okay.
I had underarm sweat. I smelled bad. I was like, oh my God. I don't want to be. What is that guy doing? Don't go in there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Why?
Those movies get me every time. I'm like, no, wait, no. What?
Yeah, when he's like the first couple of minutes of the movie, when he's like defusing the car bomb, and I'm like, dude, just let it blow up. Like, go away. Let it blow up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't they have like a, I don't know, a robot?
The bomb robot?
Yeah. Or a, I don't know, a horse we don't care about or something that can go
a
in.
Horse.
I don't know. It's people or it's horses. I think so. She does a great job of ratcheting up tension what she does. And in this version where she kind of presents it from multiple different angles, it's very interesting. And she stays low on the sap. So we know that there's people out there. And she, like, it's what's also interesting is that she shows how some people have the privilege of getting carted away really quickly, right? They're on a list. Someone's waiting for them. They essentially get lifted off their feet and taken somewhere. Put into the bunkers. And whether or not that's the White House or a special room that's been designated somewhere else, they're designated survivors. That's what they are. And they have to make sure. The most interesting part of the movie is when I think it's the guy who's in charge of the White House situation room. And I forget what the official his official title is. But the actor who plays it is great. Can't remember his name either. Can't remember any of it. But I remember one thing he said. As it's getting close to kind of like countdown time when they're going to see whether or not this device explodes. If it's a device, if it explodes, where it explodes, all that other stuff, right? That's the other thing, is that for most of the 19 minutes, they don't know where it came from. They know kind of where it's headed, right? But not with some degree of 100% accuracy. And they don't even know if it's carrying a warhead. They have no idea. So they could...
just ratchet up the anxiety even more.
That's right. But he says... so they're talking to like their Russian counterparts, and I won't get into all the details, but they're trying to figure out, like, is this Russia? And they're playing this game of brinksmanship. Like, you stand down. No, you stand down. Can you promise you won't fire at us? Can you promise you won't fire at us, right? This is not you. I don't think it's, you know, but whatever. They're going back and forth. And they hang up the phone. It leaves it kind of open-ended. And then the guy who was on the phone with the Russian says, well, what do we do now? And they got the gentleman who I'm referring to says, well, right now I call the Army Corps of Engineers. He goes, why? And he goes, because if the White House gets hit, they'll need to dig us out. And I was like, oh, shit. Fuck. I don't have anybody that's going to dig me out. Who's going to dig me out of my pool? No. Who's going to do that?
Blue.
Oh, no, not Blue. Blue's not going to dig me out. She'll keep barking till someone shows up, maybe. Yeah. And like a cockroach, she'll likely survive any event, I would imagine. Oh, my God. We just did an interview.
We did.
I'll lighten the mood a little bit. We just did an interview, and Blue barked for 48 straight minutes.
No break.
Yeah.
No, I would hear like, there would be a brief pause, and I would be like, okay, she stopped. And then, rah,
yeah, rah, 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 rah.
It was the entire time.
In the room next to us. And I can't believe our guest didn't say anything. Because I would have. I would have been like, do you need to go check on that thing?
I brought it up in the beginning. Because it started like right when we started doing the interview. In fact, the crazy thing was before we did the interview, I even said, because I came in and I said, where's Blue?
And I go, I don't know. She's probably in the house somewhere. But that was weird when I thought about it. But then our guest is right here. So we start the interview and Chrissy goes, hey, even the dog agrees. She goes, why is Blue barking like that? But now we have a guest and I'm like, I don't know. So in my mind, I'm like, She'll stop.
Nope.
I could stop the interview right now. It's only a minute old. And I could say, excuse me for a second while I check on whatever is bothering my dog. Or, because I don't know you, I can just roll with it. Because you don't know Blue. And Blue likely will stop at some point.
She did.
But then 10 minutes in, 20 minutes in, 30 minutes in. Now I'm like, I'm going to kill any energy this interview has if I stop it right now. Let's just keep going.
So we get done with the interview. Immediately, we're like, what's going on with Blue? And she was just
laying on a bed. Yeah. Just barking. She didn't like our guest. I don't know. Our guest was a cat fan, so maybe she got it. Maybe she picked up on it. Oh, there she is. She's barking again. You're not tricking me again, Blue. Go ahead and bark all you want. I'm not interested. Oh, my God. That is too funny. That was funny. I mean, it's funny now. It wasn't funny then. It was irritating me. Yeah, if I'm honest, I was a little off my game because I'm having this debate in my head back and forth. I'm trying to also understand what kind of bark it is. I'm like, well, it doesn't sound like I'm a hurt bark. It sounds like I'm just, I need you for something.
Uh-huh.
And like a ringing a bell. Blue's ringing a bell. Man. What a dumb dog. Yep, she'd be the one to survive all of it. All the nukes could be blown off, all of them. And Blue would be like, rah! Standing on my dead head. Take taking me, taking it into the next version. Trying to get me to wake up to give her a treat. She'd shit right on my chest. Oh, where's Nico when you need him?
Nico. Oh, my Nico. God. I almost sent you an article the other day. I actually ended up sending it to Rachel, but it was a whole article about how dogs can sense ghosts. And that made
really?
Me think of Nico because...
Ideal meal.
Yeah, he could...
sense a ghost. Yeah.
He was a ghost, but he was also could sense
yeah.
them.
He was dead when he was walking around here for the last couple of years. I'm sure of it. I know it.
Yes.
I think in an alternate universe, he died when he jumped into the pool when he first got here.
Mm-hmm.
But his dead bones just kept walking around.
Well, his breath smelled like it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, now Blue's getting that way, too. You know, I think that's the way dogs go after a while. Animals smell like animals eventually. I guess we all smell bad eventually, right? We've all met some old people. They're kind of like, I don't think it looks too good for them. They kind of have that scent. You know what I'm saying? All right. Well, go watch House of Dynamite if you need a laugh tonight.
Family friendly
giggle factory. Yeah. Could you turn on a couple episodes of Miss Rachel as a palate cleanser and then watch House of Dynamite? Tell your kids this is your future.
Look how realistic
Wow, that got fast. That ratcheted up fast. It is good, though. It was done well.
Okay.
So, and
I'm
it presents an opportunity, I think, for all of us. You know, like back in the 70s, they would have those disaster movies like Earthquake. And I think they had a couple about nuclear meltdowns and nuclear bombs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a conversation in the collective consciousness about the de-escalation, the arms race, or, you know, what do we do in this situation or that situation? You know, really corny, cheesy disaster movies. Some of them tried to be realistic, but it was the 70s, so there's only so much you could do. But it started a national conversation. And House of Dynamite seems to have done that in some circles also about what we as a society want when it comes to these kind of weapons and who should be in charge of sending them off and how that process should go down in those 19 minutes.
Everybody vote.
Vote.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
So the strange thing is happening, and I'm wondering how it ends. And I'm not talking about nuclear war or the hurricane
Blue.
In Jamaica or Blue. It's a personal thing, and it also doesn't have to do with my undercarriage.
Okay.
So we have this car, right? And the car is a nice car, but it's an older car. And it's a big car. That's why we bought it, because it's got the ability to carry all the kids.
And,
you know, Blue, if for some reason we ever decide to take her anywhere. So we bought it. We bought a nicer one, but it was used, figuring, okay, this is an investment, but it'll get our family around for the next 5 to 10 years, right? We're just going to drive it into the ground. But at least it's got the things that we needed to have for safety features and comfort for all of our kids. So the car has been really great, but it's one of those types of vehicles that you should take to the dealership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people should take their car to the dealership if that is available to you and you can afford it. I understand they're much more expensive. If I have like my Honda, I didn't take that to I took that to the dealership for the first 2 years when it was under warranty, and then I took it to the oil lube.
Lube.
Because that's what you should do to save yourself
and
some
Tires
money.
Plus.
And that's exactly
it.
And I even take this car to Tires Plus because I'm not interested in buying $7,000 tires from the dealership. So anyway, so the car is under warranty, like the bumper to bumper, you know, powertrain warranty. And we also pre-bought some maintenance on the car and we have our last maintenance was supposed to come up a couple of weeks ago. And 3 days before I had it scheduled to go in, Astrid calls me in the morning as she's taking the kids to school. And she says, I don't know what's going on. I just pulled over right down the street. I just pulled over because the car gave me a red warning light on the dashboard.
Oh, no.
And it said, pull over immediately. Be safe. Pull over into a safe area immediately.
Whoa.
Right? And she was like, holy shit. Like, I've never seen that warning.
No.
I don't know what that is. But she does it. And I go over there. And so I get in the car, the other car, I go over there. And she jumps in this car and I take that car. And I turn it on, I turn it off, and the warning is no longer there.
Oh.
So I don't see it. I don't know what it is. But there is an engine light, like a yellow engine light.
Okay.
So I call the dealership and I explain to them what's going on. And they say, okay, sometimes this happens. Sometimes the battery is a little,
or
the battery's a little low, and it causes, they want you to pull over so the battery can continue to charge before you run out of juice while you're driving, right? But we've heard of this before. It's not, as long as the engine light isn't red, you're okay to drive it. If it turns red, bring it in immediately. But otherwise, you can drive it until you get here. So about a day later, the yellow engine light turns off. So there you go. So nothing to worry about. So I go in on that day that I'm supposed to on a Friday and I bring it to the advisor. The advisor says, okay, and says, here's the things that you need to get done. And I say, okay, approve, whatever. You know, oil change, flush this, do that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So he gives me a loaner car, a brand new car.
I saw that.
Right? A very nice vehicle because that's what they do. That's how they get you to buy the new vehicle.
Right.
Is they send you home with a loaner car that's very nice. But we've had these loaner cars a lot when we take the car in, but we have it for a day or two.
Yeah.
Sometimes over the weekend, if we're lucky, we're like, hey, how you do? Now we get it for 4 days, right? Cool. We even one time took a car in. They needed to get a part. We were going to Florida on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
And I called them because, you know, it's like you can only drive it 100 miles in a particular day. You can't leave the state. And of course, they're tracking the thing. Of course they are. But I didn't know what to do, and they weren't going to give me my car back soon enough. And the manager said, okay, you can take it to Florida. I give you permission to take it to Florida. So I took a loaner to Florida. Great. Brand new car. Super sweet. All the accoutrements, the things I don't have in my car because I can't afford it, right? All that stuff. So now we've got this souped up car. Same car, 5 years newer, souped up to soup and nuts. Everything you can want on a car, it's there. This is almost 3 weeks ago now
that
I took the car in because I took the car in and then I get a, he says, well, it's going to definitely be over the weekend. Maybe Monday or Tuesday we're backed up. Okay, no problem. As long as I've got a car, I'm cool. He calls me on Tuesday or Wednesday or texts me. He says, listen, we've got a weird indicator light on our computer that you can't see and we want to get to the bottom of it just to make sure everything's okay. Cool. No problem. I got a car. 3 days later.
Yeah, you're like, you take care of it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, we drove it around and we fixed the we thought we fixed the particular problem. We thought it was a sensor. We replaced the sensor.
Mm-hmm.
Still getting the same indicator light. So we're going to do some additional investigating. We think it might be one of the fuel pumps. And we think that fuel pump might have been broken for a while. And I'm like, oh. So and he's
God.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, so fuel? But he's like, well, obviously it was driving and you were driving it okay. He goes, but if it's not getting the right kind of fuel distribution, it could cause damage over the long haul. We want to make sure we get to the bottom of it. Cool. All right. Another update about 4 or 5 days later. We replaced the low pressure fuel pump. And the light was still on. So we're going to replace the high pressure fuel
pump. You'll just have everything replaced in
the
whole car.
I know, exactly. So then I get a phone call from him last week, and he says, really sorry about this, but we replaced both fuel pumps. We thought that would for sure fix the problem. It hasn't fixed the problem. There's still an indicator. So now we know the sensor's good. We know the pumps are good. We know the lines are good. We actually stuck cameras down there, made sure the lines were good. Nothing. He goes, we don't know what this is. And so now we have a ticket open with engineering to see if we can get it fixed. And I was like, holy
the head honchos.
Shit. The head honchos are now involved in this. So I just got another text message today. We're still trying to get to the bottom of what the problem is. I hope to give you an update by next week.
Wow.
So I'm chat GPTing this. I'm like, okay. What happens if it's under warranty and they can't fix
it? And they just never can fix
it. Well, first of all, good on them for fixing it because I would have never known. Never known. They could have let me drive that thing right out of warranty, and I would have never known. But now they've found it, and they're determined to get to the bottom of it.
Sure.
So good on them.
Yeah.
Right? I feel good about that, that even though I couldn't see it, they could, and they chose to do something
about
it.
That's the right thing to do.
Right. But I'm asking Chad, I'm like, what happens if they cannot fix it? And there are a number of different answers, but the most common one is they can buy the car back. They can basically call it even Steven. Like, if you owe money on the car, you call it even Stevens and you walk away from the car, which I don't want that. Well, what am I going to do?
With the car.
Yeah, and I just spent a ton of money. I just put a bunch of equity. I mean, yeah, no, you don't get equity in a car, but I just put a bunch of money into a car that now I no longer have. I don't want that. And then they said, well, then you can always go to arbitration and see if you can figure something out with the dealership that's usually in your contract somewhere. Well, I don't want to go to arbitration. Who wants that?
Yeah.
But then I said, is it possible they just give me the loaner? And Chat was like, unlikely that they give you a car worth so much more money.
Aspirational thinking.
Yeah. But I was like, could it be true? And Chat was like, I guess that would be up to the dealership, but I don't see any reference anywhere where that would be the case. Don't get your hopes up. But now I'm like, I'm you know,
you're getting
like
used to the new car.
I'm a cup two quarters full kind of guy. I like to think that maybe the best possible scenario could come of this.
Yeah.
What if I got a new car?
That would be amazing. I would be so excited for you guys.
I would be excited too.
Or they just completely replace everything to do with
I guess
car
they could just go for the engine, right? Yeah, they could just replace the engine.
Everything.
But if you're replacing the engine, aren't you just replacing the car anyway? I mean, I also understand there are components inside of the car, like the computer, the brain, the you know, everything on any car. It costs a lot of money. On these cars, they cost a lot of money. Like, I can understand that. But isn't it true that if you replace the engine, you are replacing the most expensive part of the car?
Yeah.
That's where all the value essentially lies, is in that engine and its ability to do the work. I mean, you don't have an engine, you don't have anything, right? If you don't have a rear view mirror, sure, it's an inconvenience, but you can still get around.
Yeah.
Right? You can even go without a door or a headlight like I did for 6 years.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So now I'm like, keep going, buddy. Keep going.
Well,
I don't care.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's what I would be saying too.
Well, apparently there's a law that if your car is in the shop for more than 30 days and a solution has not been found, then there is some kind of
the lemon law? No.
The lemon law won't apply here because I've had the car for so long. I would have had to pull that trigger in 2 years.
Okay.
And I'm outside of that window. Also, the car is older. Mm-hmm. So there's some other law that comes into place. But there is a lemon law. And you can, if you have a lemon, you can certainly you can make lemonades.
You can't with the car though.
Nah, you can't with the car.
Not with a lemon car.
But after 30 days, something happens. Like, I can say something.
You need to ask Chad about that.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, lay low. Don't say much. I'm like responding with one word answers, like, cool, right? Not putting myself in any particular fuss about anything, not like droning on.
No, enjoy the new car.
Yeah, I talked to him and he said he was so apologetic and like upside down and sideways. He's young, he's new. I've been at this dealership for a while and, you know, there was old advisor had been there for like 20 years, older advisor, 20 years. You know, he really, this guy's young. He's trying to make an impression. He's trying to make friends. He's trying to do his thing.
Uh-huh.
He's newish there. He's been there for about 9 months, I think. And so he calls, he's all apologetic, upside down and sideways. You know, oh my gosh, Mr. Green, I'm so sorry. I can't believe this is happening.
Like, that's fine.
Blah, blah. And I said, hey, listen, man, why would I complain about driving a loaner that's essentially 5 years newer than my car?
No, you wouldn't.
Why? Why would I? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, you'd be surprised. He's like, sometimes we get people in here and they've got like, you know, like a 1999 whatever. And they bring it in and they get upset because it takes more than and they've got a loaner and they get upset because it takes a little longer than we had told them. And I was like, why would that be? And he's like, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I know the drugs are under the seat. I'm not sure.
They've got some kind of tie to that car.
That's true. Now, you know, I mean, I think
if you're talking like a 1965 pristine convertible.
Something or other. Exactly.
You know, then
yes.
You might get a little testy. It needs to be fixed.
This is not
but
that.
This is not that.
Yeah. This is not that. But I'm interested. I'm interested to
now
see
I am
how
too.
This all ends. I'm interested to see if they fix it, what exactly the problem was. Mm-hmm. What has caused them such dramatics that they needed to call.
They're involving engineering.
Yeah, engineering. Like the people who built the, like built the first car, not this car, the first one. Yeah. They're calling Bob, the guy who drew up the original, you know,
plans.
AutoCAD. Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, what happens if this happens? And the funny thing is, it's already been a week since they opened a ticket with engineering.
Wow.
So even engineering is stooped.
They're well, how are you nearing? How long is the 30 days? When does that approach?
I think I will probably next week.
Mm.
Probably next week.
Wow.
So I'll have to follow up. I'll
yeah.
let you know. I'll let you know what's going on. But, you know, I'm not too plussed about it as long. Honestly, like, I'm being honest when I say, if I've got a car,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things that I miss about my old car, you know, like the Cheerios stuck to the back of my seat.
Yeah. This is the same car that's been thrown up in multiple
yeah. I might say to them, hey, have you checked for puke in the line? Because that could be the case. When I first heard it was the fuel thing, I'm like, I didn't put diesel in the car on accident, did I? I knew someone that happened to.
Ooh,
they
I
put
think that's
diesel.
Bad, right?
Oh my God! When I went to Europe, when Astrid and I, real quick, and then we'll go. Then we'll leave you alone for the rest of the day. When Astrid and I were in Europe, we were living in Switzerland, and it was just such a lovely town.
Yeah.
But it was a little north, and it was closer to Germany. And we decided we had to get out of this smaller town that we were in, and let's go. See, so,
explore?
Yeah, let's explore.
Yeah.
But, you know, local transportation, we could take trains and stuff like that. But I decided, let's rent a car because
mm-hmm.
we wanted to go to a theme park in Germany, like their version of Disney World called Europa World. And it was about like a 4-hour drive. So I said, let's drive a car. Okay, so go get the car.
Is that the same one where that the woman made love to the roller coaster?
No. No, that was a different one. But that's a different theme park. This literally is like a Disney World.
Uh-huh.
They even have like a ripoff mouse and all the other stuff. But it is so well done that you want to be mad at it
yeah.
for being a ripoff Disney World. But then you go, some of this stuff is better than Disney World. Like, and they have some of the best roller coasters in Europe. Like,
oh,
it's
nice.
Very well
okay.
known. We went in the middle of fucking January
oh,
in Germany. And it was like 42 degrees. It wasn't snowing. It wasn't that cold, but it was pretty close.
Yeah.
But we were right. We got there at night and we ended up riding the roller. We ended up going into the park at night, into the parks at night and riding outdoor
Ooh.
Roller coasters.
Ooh.
And we were not the only ones. There were like lots of other
about
people.
It.
I know, but then they had all these bonfires everywhere
ah,
and these fire
fun.
Logs. And, you know, it was really well done.
That's
really
fun.
Well done. Done. The people in Germany, they're used to this. They've,
oh, yeah, that's true.
40 degrees, it was like warm. People in t-shirts.
Right.
Anywho, okay, so we bring the, so we go and then we bring the car back, right? And in that time, I only fill up the car one time. I fill it up in Germany and then I come back because these things get, they're like, you know, they're diesel cars. They get like 89, you know, gallons to the, or miles to the gallon. It's crazy. So we get back and I'm supposed to return the car the next day. But I gotta drop it off at the rental place, but I gotta fill it back up with gas.
Oh, yeah.
I go to this gas station in Switzerland, and finding a gas station in Switzerland, first of all, is a feat in and of
oh,
itself.
Really?
Especially in the cities, in the older, you know, the older, nicer cities.
Yeah.
But then I did not understand for the life of me. This is before you could like take a picture and translate it with ChatGPT. I did not understand for the life of me what it said and how to work the machine.
Oh.
And the ladies in behind the counter did not understand a lick of fucking English. None of us could communicate.
Oh, God.
It took me almost an hour to figure out for me. I think what ended up happening was there was someone who came, pulled up, and I was like begging for mercy.
So it wasn't like our normal pumps here.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like our normal pumps. You had to pick like the particular type of diesel, and I didn't know which type of diesel
right.
it took, and I didn't know where to find that information, and dot, dot, dot.
Ugh.
And finally, somebody showed up who had enough running English to get me through the process. We had to like look in the book and get me
yeah,
through
yeah.
the process, and finally I got out of there, because I was dead on empty. Dead on empty. Like, I wasn't getting anywhere. And, of course, they were going to charge me 7 million francs for, you know,
bringing
it back without gas in it. And so it was just like a whole fucking nightmare. But I am so glad that I spent the hour to get it right, because I knew someone who put diesel in their car
Ooh.
And guess what?
In an unleaded car. Oh, no.
And guess what? It completely
destroyed the engine.
Completely destroyed the engine to the point where I think they had to get a new car, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. They just didn't know, and they took that yellow nozzle out, and they thought, yep, that's the one. I don't want to start the show again. Do you? All right.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. All right. Well, everyone have a good Halloween.
Yes,
we're going to be running.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. For Halloween tomorrow, because everyone's going to be all wrapped up in their own thing, we're going to run an interview tomorrow, TCB infomercial tomorrow, special episode just for Halloween, because everybody's got things to do. Halloween is, you know, it's not a particularly high listen day for us, so I hope you listen to this episode.
And we even talk a little true crime-ish in this, don't
we? Talk a lot of true crime-ish in this. Yeah. It's a great Halloween episode, actually. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I think it's a good one to put out tomorrow, so we'll do that. We'll be back next week for more fun and shenanigans. I really hope that you join us.
We'll give a little update on how our Halloweens went.
Oh, yeah.
What we dressed up as.
Trunk or treats, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm dressing up as Sebastian from Under the Sea.
Oh, you are?
From Little Mermaid.
I love it. You have to take pictures.
Don't ask. Don't ask how I got all roped in.
I think I'm going to be Wonder Woman, but I don't know.
Wonder Woman's a good one.
Uh-huh. And then I'm giving out candy, you know, at the house. Jeff wears a mask.
A big scary mask.
Yeah, a big scary mask. And then I've got my psycho patient animatronic thing that scares the kids too. So, anyways,
cool.
I'll give up.
Do you have lots of trick or treaters?
Yeah. We get tons.
Do you really?
Tons.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
We run out every year, but, you know, I mean, we can only afford to buy so much candy.
It's true. It's true. We bought 400 pieces of candy for the trunk or treats, and that doesn't include the stuff at our house.
Right.
I'm giving away the kids. Kids get candy tomorrow. As we're recording this, the day before Halloween, I'm going to give away that candy to the kids who come to our house, because no one ever comes to our house, so I'm not too worried about it. Actually, we just usually turn the lights off. It's too busy of a street. Don't be walking down my street.
Yeah, and I think a couple of years ago, you told the story of how the kids, you know, they flipped you off, you know, at the Ring camera and took all the candy.
Took all the candy?
Yeah.
Good for you, kids. 212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas at The Commercial Break on Instagram, youtube.com/TheCommercialBreak, and tcbpodcast.com for your free sticker. Go to the Contact Us button and give us your address. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.